Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Have gathered in Tampa from many countries around the world. This is quite a moment in the story of United Methodism.
The overseas, chiefly the Africans, will become a majority of the denomination within 10 years or less, and with that, it's almost impossible for the liberal side of the church to prevail.
There comes a time when all of us are going to face some of the limitations that come with age, and we're a youth-obsessed society that really doesn't know how to deal, first of all, with death, and secondly, with aging in a graceful way.
I think it's great to expose our kids, to expose the church to that. And I think for far too long, the church has sort of stifled creativity.
I think Ed Young has a way of getting his point across without live animals as props, as entertainment.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
It's being called a delicate diplomatic crisis for both the United States and for China. China, no friend to human rights, at least in the eyes of the U.S. State Department, has in Beijing, in the U.S. Embassy, a blind dissident who was under house arrest somehow managed to escape and take asylum there. In fact, it's not really official asylum. That's the problem. Does he want to leave? Should he be allowed to leave China? How do we deal with a country where human rights do not hold sway and one that is, well, our major political rival? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be joining us for the first few minutes of the program to talk about a pro-life Chinese activist. What he did? His crime? He exposed forced abortions in rural China, and for that he was put under house arrest. Dr. Montgomery will be our guest for about a half hour. James White joins us after that. You've probably seen the video of an anti-Christian message, an anti-Bible message that was given by an anti-bullying speaker. He had a little bullying of his own to do, at least from the lectern. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will join us, and we'll talk about some of the things that was said there and some arguments that need to be responded to, like, well, we ignore everything else the Bible teaches about a number of things. We should really ignore the Bible on human sexuality. Dr. Curtis Giese joins us after that. Today, the church is remembering both St. Philip and St. James. We need to do a little sorting out of names there, and we will. Pastor Paul Biesel will join us after that. We'll talk about praying the Lord's Prayer. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the first day of May. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can send us a tweet at IssuesETC. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He'll join us in just a minute. Before we bring him on, let's hear the story about this pro-life dissident in China who has escaped house arrest and is at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing awaiting his fate after State Department officials meet with Chinese officials. Here it is from CBS News.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is on her way to China this morning for some high-level economic and strategic talks.
But there is something neither Clinton nor the Chinese want to talk about. Celia Hatton reports now from Beijing on the Chinese activist who is believed to be in the hands of U.S. diplomats.
The fate of a single man, human rights activist Chen Guangcheng, is threatening the already tense relationship between the U.S. and China. After a dramatic escape from house arrest, the blind, self-taught lawyer is probably hiding inside the U.S. Embassy in Beijing, though neither country will confirm exactly where he is. Chen's famous for exposing a government program that forced women to have abortions to conform to China's one-child policy. Inside China, he is a man on the run, though the Obama administration has long pushed for his freedom. Now, top U.S. officials are staying silent on Chen's case. When asked about the activist, President Obama wouldn't even mention his name.
Obviously, I'm aware of the press reports on the situation in China, but I'm not going to make a statement on the issue.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton also declined to comment on Chen before flying to China for a prearranged series of high-level meetings between Beijing and Washington.
A constructive relationship includes talking very frankly about those areas where we do not agree, including human rights. That is the spirit that is guiding me as I take off for Beijing tonight.
Why isn't anyone talking publicly? It's likely China will only allow Chen to claim asylum in the U.S. if the case is handled quietly. But Chen might be the one complicating things. His friends say he wants to stay in China with his family, but out of house arrest.
He may not have a choice. Chinese officials could decide to expel the outspoken activist quickly. So far, there's been almost a total media and internet blackout on the case inside China, but that might not last for long. For CBS This Morning, Celia Hatton, Beijing.
There's the story from CBS. Joining us to talk about it, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, professor emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's distinguished research professor of philosophy and Christian thought at Patrick Henry College and author and editor of more than 50 books, including Giant in Chains, China Today and Tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
What usually happens to political dissidents in China?
Well, if possible, they are made to disappear by the government or placed in long-term incarceration. And if they are jailed, then they are sent normally to distant provinces, places where it's very difficult to know what's going on in any case. The idea is simply to silence them. It's only in situations where the problem is so acute that the government simply can't stand having the person around that the individual is expelled.
We are often given the impression that because China has opened its borders economically to a certain degree, being probably the largest untapped market for many enterprises worldwide, that the human rights situation in that country has kind of felt an attendant improvement. Do you think that's true?
It's not true at all. The important thing to understand about the totalitarian regime in China is that they create an impassable gulf insofar as they are able to between human rights considerations and economic prosperity. And they believe that it's possible to have economic prosperity without making concessions in the area of human rights. And as a result of this, they make concessions in human rights areas only where they are convinced that these are necessary in order to achieve the economic and political goals of the country. It's fundamental to understand this, and that means that any Western nation dealing with China has a very clean choice. It's a question of value system. The Western nation can either refuse to aid the economic growth of China unless they clean up their human rights record, or on the other hand, the Western government can say, well, if we cooperate with them in the area of economics, then that'll mean more contact with the West, more communication, and eventually the situation will improve itself. But those are the only two possibilities. And it's very interesting that the Obama administration certainly takes the second route. There is no doubt about this. The entire history of the Obama administration in dealing with China is a history of staying off of human rights if it's possible to do this. And this is allegedly for the benefit of the Chinese because they will have more contact with the West and therefore will understand the human rights position of the West and move in that direction. But one has the suspicion that the motive, real motive behind all of this is that the U.S. wants the economic connections with China for its own benefit.
With only about a minute here, can you explain briefly what the system of political system or system of thought in China is that would require it to tamp down any kind of political dissent, with only about a minute before our break?
Well, you must understand that the Chinese situation is an autocratic totalitarian system, and the Marxist aspect of this is actually a minor factor, because through most of Chinese history, autocracy and totalitarianism have prevailed. There has never been a last emperor. The fact of the matter is that the Communist Party substitutes for an autocratic, imperialistic situation, and the Chinese people have gotten, unfortunately, used to cowing to whatever leadership position happens to be. And if a leadership position is totalitarian, it insists upon controlling all aspects of life, not necessarily mini-control, but making sure that nobody objects.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about a pro-life Chinese activist seeking U.S. help.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Hi, this is Jonathan Cullen from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're talking about a pro-life Chinese activist seeking U.S. help, and his fate will be decided sometime here in the next couple days between the U.S. State Department and the Chinese government. Dr. Montgomery, it sounded like before the break you were saying that this is not to be necessarily laid at the doorstep of Chinese communism, but that the Chinese people have never really in known history enjoyed anything close to what we would call a modern set of human rights.
Yes, that's quite correct. Now, of course, Marxism is in itself a philosophy which insists on reductionism, explaining everything in terms of a materialistic approach, and in its modern manifestations politically, in the USSR, for example, and the satellite countries before the fall of the Iron Curtain, the best way to achieve the so-called classless society was a totalitarian approach, simply forcing everybody to toe the line, making the educational system set forth only that viewpoint. So there is a compatibility, a built-in compatibility between the modern Marxism and any kind of autocratic, totalitarian, imperialistic operation. They fit together quite well. But the problem in China goes much deeper than Marxism. It goes back through Chinese history.
Is religion a part of the issue? In other words, what are the major religions in China, and do they do anything to make the human rights situation better in that culture?
Well, I've dealt with that in a fair amount of detail in my little book, A Giant in Change, China Today and Tomorrow. And I point out that the traditional religions of China, that is to say, Confucianism, Buddhism, etc., have never had a solid ethic that would change society. They've never been concerned with the inequalities, inequities that exist in society. They have been of a quietistic nature, essentially of a mystical nature, or a personal ethical kind of approach, and thus there hasn't been any tradition of human rights resistance to the violations of human dignity in Chinese history. Christianity is the only answer to this sort of thing, and fascinatingly enough, the Christian church has grown immensely, incredibly in China since the end of the Maoist era. There are now more than 5 million Christians in China. The government's position there is to make sure that the government is in control of this situation. And they do this by allowing only one Catholic church and only one official Protestant church. The house churches, independent individual churches, are technically outlawed. And the result of this is that there is a great deal of Christian influence, but it isn't of a public nature. It isn't of such a nature that it brings down the wrath of the government. The government, in fact, in a number of provinces, has discovered that the Christians are the only people with enough integrity and ethics to do a good day's work, and therefore they have actually encouraged Christians, but not to say anything that could contradict or oppose the state. Anything of that kind is crushed instantly.
Chen Guangcheng, the dissident we're talking about here, was arrested because he exposed the policy of forced abortion in his region of China. What is the history of forced abortion in that country?
Well, this came into the picture during the Maoist era, and the justification for it, of course, is the gigantic Chinese population. And so the government thought that the way to reduce this difficulty was to limit, in almost all cases, the number of children that a family could have to just one. This was the one-child policy. And in principle, the idea of discouraging large family may not be immoral, although there are many Christians who would say that the command to go and replenish the earth means that it is wrong even to try to discourage people from having children. But in China, this from the Maoist era right up to the present, this has gone to a far greater extent because mandatory abortions have been part of state policy. They are regarded as quote-unquote remedial measures where the one-child policy is being violated. And, I mean, this is just hideous. Families are fined so heavily if they have more than one child or will not allow abortion to take place that it's just crippling. And I have, for example, in my documentary records, such notices as the following. When you are required by policies to get an abortion, but you don't, your house will be destroyed and your buffalo will be confiscated. I don't know exactly why only a buffalo will be confiscated, but, I mean, this is just hideous. This is a banner in one of the Chinese provinces. Not all of the provinces are as strict as some of them, but some 18 provinces are perfectly awful in this regard. And there's a banner that reads as follows. We would rather have blood flow like the river than allow one extra baby to be born. I mean, this kind of attitude is just hideous. And it shows a complete lack of respect for human life, just as the pro-abortion, anti-right to life people in the United States are people who simply have no respect for human life. Because if human life doesn't begin at the moment of conception, it doesn't begin at all.
Dr. Montgomery, with regard to Chen's fate, no one really knows for sure. If he were to leave China or be allowed to leave China, it could be a delicate situation since China, especially under the Obama policies, has been kind of allowed to for its human rights to erode. If he stays in China, what would you think would be his most likely fate, in spite of U.S. State Department intervention?
Oh, he would be silenced. He'd be silenced by jail and for, you know, such extensive periods of time, and put sent away to distant province, to some distant province. And I mean, this has happened to other dissidents on a regular basis. So there's no doubt about the fact that that's what would occur if hopefully what's going on at the moment is an attempt to allow him to get out with minimum publicity. I mean, putting the best construction on the fact that Hillary and Obama won't say anything, putting the best construction on that, it means that they simply don't want to raise the ire of the Chinese. But while Hillary is there, she may very well be able to persuade them that it's in their best interest economically, to let him go. And if he's in the American embassy and they allow him to go, then it would be a matter of the U.S. quietly granting him the right to enter the United States. The irony of this also is that he doesn't want to leave China. He's been given an opportunity to get out, but he wants to stay there and fight. I mean, he is a dynamic activist and has a lot of positive support within China. And, of course, that's the factor that the Chinese government simply cannot tolerate.
With only a couple minutes here, Dr. Montgomery, you are an international rights human rights attorney. If you were advising Chen, what would you tell him he ought to do?
Oh, I would tell him that he certainly needs to get out, because if he stays, he's not going to be able to achieve anything significant. All that will happen is that he and his family will be infinitely worse off. I mean, it's a tragedy that that's the case, but China is simply not an open society for anybody who opposes government policy. If you don't oppose government policy and you just lead an ordinary life and you contribute economically to the country's welfare, then you don't run into any problems at all. But this man is not of that stripe. He's a courageous person. Courageous people really have very little role to play in China today. I mean, remember Tiananmen Square, for goodness sake. Those students were not trying to overthrow the government. All they were trying to do was to get some freedom of expression. And the end result of that was that the tanks came in and probably 2,000 students and supporters were killed. The Chinese government is not interested in listening to any dissent whatsoever. and they are paranoid in thinking that any opposition is a direct threat to the regime.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, distinguished research professor of philosophy and Christian thought at Patrick Henry College, author and editor of more than 50 books, including Giant in Chains, China Today and Tomorrow. You can find out more about Dr. Montgomery's books and the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, held annually in Strasbourg, France. I've been honored to speak at this academy. I highly recommend it. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Dr. Montgomery, thank you for your time.
You're most welcome.
When we come back on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 1st, James White is going to join us. You've probably seen the video. If you haven't, it is very, it raises your ire. If you are a Christian, if you value Scripture as God's Word, and if you believe that bullying homosexuals is wrong, there's an anti-Christian message that was given by an anti-bullying speaker. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will join us to respond to it. We'll hear a little bit of it as well. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If you're involved with a Christian group called 31, you should listen to this. 31 sells mostly women's purses and bags. They depend upon women to sell their products at events held in their homes and other locations. Their name comes from Proverbs 31, which describes a godly woman. But 31's become controversial for supporting organizations that have ties with Planned Parenthood, support abortion, or outright give money to Planned Parenthood, like the Women's Fund of Central Ohio. 31 doesn't give money directly to Planned Parenthood, but it's financially supporting its allies. Proverbs 31 also says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves," which I understand to include unborn babies. This Christian organization is playing with fire.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.